The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 7, text number 13. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on June 10th, 2014, in Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tribhir guna mayair bhavair ebhi sarvam ijam jagat Mohitam nabijanati mam nebhya param avyayam. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Purport. The whole world is enchanted by the three modes of material nature. Those who are bewildered by these three modes cannot understand that transcendental to this material nature is the Supreme Lord Krishna. Every living entity under the influence of material nature has a particular type of body and a particular type of psychological and biological activities accordingly. There are four classes of men functioning in the three modes of material nature. Those who are purely in the mode of goodness are called Brahmins. Those who are purely in the mode of passion are called Kshatriyas. And those who are in the modes of both passion and ignorance are called Vaishyas. And those who are completely in ignorance are called Shudras. And those who are less than that are animals or animal life. However, these designations are not permanent. I may be either a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or whatever. In any case, this life is temporary. But although life is temporary and we do not know what we are going to be in the next life, with the spell of this illusory energy, we consider ourselves in terms of this bodily conception of life. And we thus think that we are American, Indian, Russian, or Brahmana, Hindu, Muslim, etc. And if we become entangled with the modes of material nature, then we forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is behind all these modes. So, Lord Krishna says, that living entities deluded by these three modes of nature do not understand that behind the material background is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many different kinds of living entities, human beings, demigods, animals, etc. And each and every one of them is under the influence of material nature. And all of them have forgotten the transcendent personality of Godhead. And those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, and even those who are in the mode of goodness, cannot go beyond the impersonal Brahman conception of the Absolute Truth. They are bewildered before the Supreme Lord and His personal feature, which possesses all beauty, opulence, knowledge, strength, fame, and renunciation. When even those who are in goodness cannot understand, what hope is there for those in passion and ignorance? Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these three modes of material nature, and those who are truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakonvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parshanjade Satarine. Deluded by the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So what is the point? The point is you have to know Krishna if you want to be liberated. That's the point. As Prabhupada confirms in his purport, those who are truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. So one has to become free from the influence of the modes of nature. Even the mode of goodness, which is the best of all material modes, is a type of contamination. One in the mode of goodness cannot go beyond the impersonal Brahman conception of Krishna, or we say the personal Brahman conception of the Absolute Truth. They take Krishna to be an illusory manifestation of the impersonal Brahman. So being good isn't good enough. Even the topmost position in the material world is not good enough. One has to go beyond these modes of nature. You see? That's called Krishna consciousness. One has to transcend the influence of these modes of nature. So how do you do that? That's done through the medium of transcendental sound vibration. Shabda Brahma. If you hear transcendental sound vibration from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master, and you take that sound vibration deep into your heart, that sound vibration purifies you of the influence of the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. It cleanses you gradually, 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 and brings you slowly, slowly, slowly to the transcendental platform beyond the modes of material nature. So one who can hear from a bona fide spiritual master is very fortunate. This is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmandi Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadepai Bhakti Lata Bij. A living entity, after wandering throughout the universe, the higher planets, the lower planets, who comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by the mercy of Krishna, is very, very fortunate. He received the seed of bhakti planted in his heart from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. So if one is fortunate enough to hear from a bona fide spiritual master, and he realizes, I have just received the ultimate blessing. I have heard transcendental sound vibration from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. Let me take what I have received as the greatest treasure, the greatest wealth I've ever achieved in millions and millions of births. And let me protect that wealth. Let me guard that wealth. Let me cultivate that wealth, you see. That is called Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of the nectar of bhakti, the nectar of devotion. So what do you do when you get a seed? Have any of you planted gardens? Sure, many of you have planted gardens. You just throw the seed in the ground and forget it? No. You regularly water the seed. And you weed the garden also. So once you are fortunate enough to receive the seed of bhakti from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master planted within your heart, then you have to regularly water that seed. And that is the chanting process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you have to also protect that garden from weeds. What are the weeds? Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And you have to also protect your garden from mad elephants that may come tromping through your neighborhood with those huge feet. Boom, one step, and they finish your creeper, you see. So what is that big foot of the elephant? It's Vaishnava Parad. One has to be very, very careful never to offend a Vaishnava, you see. Never to offend a Vaishnava. And if one somehow offends a Vaishnava, then you have to fall down at their feet and beg forgiveness. Because that will kill your devotional creeper. You say, well, why a Vaishnava? Can't I just love Krishna? Isn't that enough? Well, you know what Krishna says? He says, Ye me bhakta jana parato, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So we have to be devoted to the devotees. That's why we need a spiritual master, you see. We become devoted to the spiritual master as Krishna's representative. And not only to the spiritual master, to all the Vaishnavas. We become devoted. So in this way, by being devoted to the spiritual master and being devoted to the devotees, by avoiding the sinful activities, illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling, and regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then that seed which the spiritual master has planted in your heart becomes gradually nourished. That little seedling then becomes a full-blown creeper. It crosses over the vast expanse of this material universe. It breaks through the coverings of this material universe. It enters into the spiritual sky. It traverses the vast spiritual sky. It goes all the way to Krishna Loka, the planet of Lord Krishna himself, where it wraps itself around the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. At which time, that prema phal, that fruit of prema, becomes fully manifested and ripened on that creeper. So we have to understand this is a science, just like any science. But this is the most perfect of all sciences. And the other sciences, they're still speculating. They figure out how to make this, how chemistry works or how physics, they're still speculating, trying to figure it out. But this science is already perfectly given by the supreme scientist, Krishna himself, who is the author of everything, the origin of all. Ishvaraha Padamaha Krishna Satchirananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna is the supreme controller. He has an eternal form full of bliss and knowledge. He has no origin. He is the origin of all. He is known also as Govinda, and he is Sarva Karana Karanam, and he is the cause of all causes. So if you connect with Krishna through the process given in the Vedic scriptures, especially given in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you will connect with Krishna through this process, you'll become a liberated soul, as confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, Iha yasha harer dashe karmana manasagara nikala svapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchate. When he engages himself fully, karmana by body, manasa by mind, and gira by words, becomes jivan mukta. He's a liberated soul. Doesn't matter if you're a student, if you're a housewife, if you're a brahmachari, a grihastha, a sannyasi, a little kid, it doesn't matter what your position is. if you will engage yourself, body, mind, and words, in the service of Krishna, you'll become Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul in this material world. Are there any questions? Pass them forward if there's any questions. Does the Mahatattva exist permanently? Well, the material nature goes through cycles of manifestation and non-manifestation. Every time it goes into a dormant state, every time Mahavishnu inhales, and it's again manifest when he exhales. Mahavishnu exists eternally and in a sleep called Yoga Nidra. He doesn't become unmanifest. Under the influence of passion, couples, even among devotees, are getting problems. Even some are contemplating a divorce. Kindly give your ideas of divorce. There's no such thing as divorce in Krishna consciousness. In Vedic culture, there's no such thing as divorce. If one divorce means you're leaving Vedic culture, you're leaving spiritual life and going back to material life. Divorce is like dogs. It's like it's animalistic. Human beings don't divorce. They take a vow and they stick to their vow. That is human life. Prabhupada said, if you take a vow and you don't keep it, you're not a human being, you're an animal. So anyone who gets a divorce, they're not a human being even, they're just an animal. So, you know, for a human being to descend to the animal platform is a disgrace. So one should never even contemplate divorce. You have to. The reason there are conflicts in married life is the husband thinks he's the center, and the wife thinks she is the center. They're both forgetting that Krishna is the center. You see. If they will both remember that Krishna is the center, there's no divorce. And there must be compromise in married life. Not my way or the highway. No. If the wife should follow the husband, but if she doesn't, the husband should follow the wife, Prabhupada said. Not breaking the principles. Within the principles of Krishna consciousness, there has to be cooperation between husband and wife. And if there's disagreement, they still have to work together on the principle, on the vow they have taken. Please elaborate on this issue, how to bridge the generation gap, especially the new generation, how to preach with kids and youth. Well, Prabhupada had no trouble bridging the generation gap. He was an 80-year-old man preaching to hippies in their 20s. Veneration gap is a bodily conception, is it? Actually, generation gap is a material conception. There's no such thing as a generation. It's on the bodily platform. You're thinking you're the body. Well, I'm here, I'm 66. How can I preach to a 20-year-old? It's ridiculous. I'm an eternal youth, and he's an eternal youth. There is no generation gap. Generation gap is a misconception. There's no such thing as a generation gap. Krishna consciousness is cool for everybody. Whether you're a 20-year-old, it's cool. If you're a 60-year-old, it's cool. If you're an 80-year-old, Krishna consciousness is cool. It's the ultimate cool trip. We can use the language of the youth. Actually, this is the language that I used when I was a youth, and it hasn't changed. The word cool is still cool. They have other words now they use, but cool is still cool. When I was a youth, cool was the cool word, and it's still the cool word with the youth. So just, if you want to preach to the youth, just tell them Krishna consciousness is cool. It's really cool, man. I have no trouble preaching to youth because I'm actually still a youth. This 66-year-old body is just a fake. I'm actually still a youth. So I have no trouble relating to the youth. I feel more, I feel more at home with the youth than I did with the old folks, to be honest. I feel more at home with the youth because actually I'm not really 66 years old. I'm a youth. I'm an eternal youth. So I feel more at home with the youth than I did with the devotees my age, actually. You know. Because I still think I'm a 23-year-old kid who joined the movement. I still feel like a 23-year-old kid who joined ISKCON in 1971. Okay, I'm very timid in life, and I can't mingle with devotees during programs. Do you mingle with non-devotees? I wonder. I want to practice devotional service with very few people. Now, come on, you're an impersonalist. Come out of your little cloud. You're an impersonalist with very few people. Our movement is meant to make the whole world Krishna conscious. You wouldn't want that, right? There'd be too many devotees around. I mean, get out of this nonsense impersonalism, whoever you are. I mean, criticize. I'm my own husband. I'm criticizing you also. You deserve it. I'm frustrated. Well, what can I do in this case? You have to learn how to be... you have to come out of your shell. That's all I can say. Devotees are the life and soul of the Vaishnavas. If you're a Vaishnava, you have to learn how to relish the association of devotees. You can't be a recluse. Recluses for impersonalists who don't realize that Krishna is a person. So please take your husband's chastisements not in a frustrated way, but appreciate that he's trying to help you to come out of your impersonal shell. Why, despite constant devotional practice, devotees fall down in the material world again? Because they're careless. That's why. They don't practice their sadhana carefully. They're careless. If you drive carelessly, you will have an accident, isn't it? When you drive the car, you must drive carefully. So you must practice Krishna consciousness carefully, otherwise you'll have an accident. Scriptures state that one should serve a spiritual master. What about devotees whose spiritual master not visit their country? How many times did Prabhupada associate with Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? Prabhupada said not more than 10 times, maybe not even 10 times. You have to learn there's two presences of the spiritual master, his Vani and his Vapu. I had very little opportunity to personally serve Srila Prabhupada. Very, very little opportunity. The one time I was with Prabhupada for a few days, there was 300 devotees and everybody wanted to serve him personally. 300 of us. So what service you can do? I remember I was going to go over my Brahmin initiation. So I thought, well, I'll bring him a nice fruit plate. So at least I can do a little something personally I can give him. So I had a very nice fruit plate made up and it was time for the Brahmin. And then they postponed the giving of the Brahmin threads and I couldn't take the fruit plate. And then all of a sudden, later in the afternoon, when I had no fruit plate, they said, come immediately. Prabhupada is giving Brahmin thread. I couldn't give the fruit plate. So even to give a little fruit plate to Prabhupada, I missed that opportunity, you see, because there was so many devotees there. There was like 300 devotees there in Atlanta at the time. And, you know, but am I not having the opportunity to serve my spiritual master? No, I have full facility. Because the order of the spiritual master, serving the order of the spiritual master is more important than serving his physical presence. So Prabhupada gave the order, become guru and deliver the whole world. So that's what I'm doing. I've taken up the service of being a guru, and now I'm trying to deliver the whole world in the order of my spiritual master. So I have tons of service to do for Prabhupada at every minute. Being a guru means vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam mudaro pasta vegam. I have to control my mind, body, words, tongue, belly, and genitals, and preach, 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 preach to everyone for the deliverance of the world. So I have unlimited service to do for my spiritual master, even though I'm physically separated from him. He's left the world. Actually, I'm with Prabhupada every minute. If you understand the order of your spiritual master is more important than his physical presence, then you can associate with your Guru Maharaj at every minute. How can a practicing devotee who has offended another devotee be relieved of the offense committed to the devotee, fall down at his feet and beg forgiveness, and pacify him by your smiling, sweet smiling face and sweet words? Krishna says, those who claim are not my devotees, but those who are the devotees of my devotees are my devotees. He doesn't say those who claim to be my devotees. He says those who are my devotees are not my devotees. He doesn't say those who claim to be my devotees. He says, ye me bhakta jana partha. He says those who are my devotees are not my devotees. Not those who claim to be my devotees. He says those who are my devotees are not my devotees. But if they're the devotee of my devotees, then they are my devotee. That's what Krishna says in the Adi Purana. It's very simple. Krishna wants you to be devoted to his devotees. So if you're not, you're disobeying Krishna. It's simple logic. How can one become more attentive while chanting japa? Do we have to stay in the temple to do spiritual life? Two questions. The easiest way to be more attentive is to chant before sunrise. Get up early in the morning before the dawn and chant before the sun comes up, because the modes of nature are very conducive for attentive chanting in the early morning hours. And do you have to stay in the temple to do spiritual life? The temple is the best place. We encourage everybody to come to the temple as much as possible, every morning and evening. Whenever you have time, go to the temple. Whenever you can squeeze it into your schedule, go to the temple, because the temple is the very best place. The deity worship here is first class. There's beautiful murti of Prabhupada, and now they're offering him a fresh garland every day, isn't it? They used to offer him the old rotten garland left over from the deities, but my wife and I protested about that, and the managers have changed the policy now. And now a fresh garland every day. You could volunteer to make Prabhupada's garland. Wow. You can serve Prabhupada. I mean, there's so many nice service. Who's making that garland? It's so nice. Every day Prabhupada's getting that fresh garland, you see. So, as much as possible, go to the temple. Whenever you have time, whenever you're free, go to the temple. Take your kids, take your husband, take your wife, take your grandma, take your auntie, take your uncle, take your prime minister. Go to the temple. Nowadays, youngsters are prone to have sex at an early age. It's become very disgusting. How can one control the urge of sex? As we see, even the ISKCON devotees are still doing it, though they're initiated. Wow. It's a heavy question. I have a heavy answer. Also, I've written a whole essay about it. Sex is only for procreation, Prabhupada. Now in ISKCON, devotees want to change that. They want to have sex for recreation, but it's clearly against the regulated principles. Prabhupada said in the Bhagavatam, if you have sex with your wife other than procreation, you're making her a prostitute. That's what he says, Prabhupada's words. Now, on devotees are trying to change this principle that it's okay to have sex for recreation. But I say you're not connecting with Krishna. If you think you have to have sex for recreation, you're not connected with Krishna, that's all. Because Krishna, when you connect with Krishna, it's billions of times better than sex. Would you like to enjoy a pleasure better than sex at every minute? 10 times better than sex, 100 times better than sex at every minute? Sex is pretty enjoyable thing, actually. It's like being a demigod for a few seconds. Would you like to have a pleasure even greater than that every minute? It's right there. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but you know what they say, but I find sex is more enjoyable than chanting Hare Krishna. That's because Nama Parab. If you find that sex is more enjoyable than chanting Hare Krishna, it is because you're making Nama Parads. That's it. You have to kick out the Nama Parads, and then you will actually feel how Krishna is manifesting, present, in your presence. You will feel His presence. And that, if you chant in that mood, that day will come, you'll actually see Krishna with your own eyes. And then sex will be like, who cares for that stupid thing called sex, you see? So you have to come to this Krishna consciousness movement, you see? Those who have been illicit sex, they haven't yet joined the Krishna consciousness movement, actually, yet. They haven't really joined yet. They're off in some semi-quasi-Krishna conscious bubble somewhere. They haven't actually come to the Krishna consciousness movement yet. Because in that movement, I'll give you an example. When I was a young brahmachari, I just remember it. I'll finish this point, then you can bring in. You want to go ahead now before you forget it? Huh?
Go ahead.
All right. When I was a young brahmachari, I remember one day in our Miami temple, this couple came to me. You know, Prabhupada's rule is this. There's no sex unless you want to try to have a kid. And then you have to chant. You have sex just after the lady's menstrual cycle, once in a month, when she's most likely to get pregnant. And you both chant, husband and wife, 50 rounds of japa. So you get your blessings. First thing is you get your spiritual master's blessings. This is step number one. Without his blessings, there's no question of trying to have a child. First, if you get the spiritual master's blessings, and then on the most fertile day of the month, just after the menstrual cycle, after the husband and wife both chant 50 rounds of japa to put themselves in the most purified state to attract the most exalted soul to take birth in the womb of the lady, you see, then they have sex. So that's the rule. Once in a month only, if you're trying to have a kid, you have your spiritual master's blessings. So, this couple said, "No, so Sankarshan Prabhu, we wanted to tell you something," the husband was telling me. Last night, we both chanted 50 rounds, tried to have a child, and after we finished chanting the 50 rounds, we were so enlivened by the chanting, we said, "Let's wait till next month to have sex." So, that's actually the power of a name. It's better than sex. They experienced it. They were getting ready to have sex, according to Prabhupada's principles, but it was, the name was so nectarian. They said, "Oh, next month. We don't want to come down to the bodily platform. We're flying high in the spiritual platform. We don't want to come down to the male-female platform by having sex. Let's stay up here on the spiritual platform." I never forgot that. You wanted to add something?
Yeah. Those who are breaking the principles after initiation, they are pretenders. They are not even devoted to their spiritual master, nor to Krishna.
Yeah, it's like making a show of being a devotee. They're not actually following the principles that's given by Prabhupada.
Krishna gives these instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamasmi bhartashava. They are not following.
Yeah.
The dharma of propagation, they are not following.
Yeah.
Nor they are following them.
Yeah, they're pretenders. They're not actually following Prabhupada. That's right. So
where are they going to get Krishna?
That's why the youth are attracted to sex, because the adults, the elders have not given it up either. That's the problem, you see. If the elders become fixed in Krishna consciousness, and they become fixed in brahmachari principles, even as married life, that's called grihastha brahmachari, then the youth will see. Well, our parents now, they're practicing brahmachari and they're completely enlivened in the holy name. So the children will learn from that example. Prabhupada says that Gandhi, in his 30s, he became strict brahmachari, even though he was married, because he had no sex life. He became so powerful, he was able to drive the British Empire, the British out of India. So if you want to become powerful and determined in anything, you become brahmachari. You become strict brahmachari, and you become very powerful and determined in anything, whether you want to make money, whether you want to drive the British out of India, whatever you want to do. Or you want to become a pure devotee, which is the ultimate reason to become a brahmachari, you see. Why we are very eager to accept a Diksha Guru, and it's very difficult to accept a Siksha Guru locally. Our spiritual masters have to train their disciples to be loyal, eager participants in this movement. Not that we create a bunch of guru sects. This is Prabhupada's house. And it's not that my disciples should just become my followers and to hell with everybody else. That's bogus, you see. This movement will fall apart. If everybody is only eager to hear and serve their own guru, this movement is finished. It won't last very long. It'll completely dismantle like the Gaudiya Math dismantle. Unless we can maintain this family spirit that we're all Prabhupada's family and we have so many exalted gurus and spiritual masters and senior devotees we can learn from, this movement will be finished. And we will be, even now, we're not very strong. I heard the Muslims are now building a new temple every month and a new mosque every month. And how long does it take us to build a new temple? You see. We have to be unified. United we stand and divided we fall. We have to be unified. Not that, you know, one husband complained to me. He said, Guru Maharaj, whenever when I serve you with great enthusiasm, and whenever any guru comes to our temple, I serve him also with great enthusiasm. But my wife, she only wants to serve her guru and nobody else. You see? I had to tell him, your wife has a material conception. Keep preaching to her and hopefully she'll get over it. You see, it's material conception. I only serve my guru. I mean, this is nonsense. Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the godbrother of your spiritual master should be given the same respect as your spiritual master. Yes.
That's a selfishness.
It's selfishness, that's right.
You take from somebody, but you don't want to give.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to respect all the senior devotees, you see.
They think that, oh, I'm not taking service, but you are hearing and taking the knowledge. That is service also. You're taking service.
Yeah, that's right. Can you please elaborate on the three modes of material nature? Yeah, it's very simple. Tamaguna is a mode of ignorance. It's the inactive sleeping mode, the intoxicated mode. The mode of passion is the mode of activity, the doing mode. And the mode of goodness is the meditative mode. Explain the three levels of realization of the Absolute Truth, Brahman, Paramat, and Bhagavan. Brahman realization is a realization of the impersonal Absolute. Paramatma is a realization of the forearm form of Vishnu within the heart. And Bhagavan realization, I mean to say, is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can a devotee become liberated only by chanting the holy name without reading the Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam? Some devotees do not like to read. You better read. Prabhupada once said we have to read all of his books or we'll fall down. So unless you're willing to hear from the Gita and hear from, if you don't want to read Prabhupada's books, your chanting will never become pure. It will always remain contaminated. You have to be willing to hear from Prabhupada. I've always heard the Hare Krishna people saying, try to taste the name of Krishna. I have tried that but could not figure out what it is exactly. It's very simple. Krishna. There it is. Krishna. You don't taste it? Well, it's like putting a piece of candy in your mouth and say, I don't taste it. It means it hasn't started dissolving yet. That's so. Suck a little harder and it'll start dissolving and you'll start tasting it. So you say, well, I don't taste the name. Well, that means you're not carefully chanting. That's you're chanting in a careless way, therefore you're not tasting it. What's the confirmation of this point? Upadeshamrita Mantra 7. Shat Krishna Nama Charitari Satapya Vidya Pato Patascha Rashanasha Narochikanu Kintvadaranadanirankalajayiva Jusha Savikramad Bhattabhim Svavikramad bhavata bingu, Svavikramad bhavati tad galamula hantri. Yes. The holy name, character, and activities of Lord Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and the disease, his disease, is destroyed gradually at the root. So you just got to chant carefully, and then you'll get the taste. That's all. You're chanting carelessly, therefore you're not getting the taste. So start chanting carefully. Pay attention to the name. Absorb yourself in the name. You ever absorb yourself in a movie so much that you, when the movie's over, you think, oh, I thought it was real. You ever had that feeling seeing a movie? Well, that's how you have to chant. You have to absorb yourself so much in the mantra that the material world becomes, oh, wow, I'm here in Mauritius? I thought I was in Krishna Loka. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see? Why did Srila Prabhupada choose the U.S. to start the ISKCON movement? Well, that's where the ship was coming. Jaladutta was coming to New York. What is the best thing that you like on the island of Mauritius? Krishna. When will Krishna be back on the earth? He's here right now. You think Krishna is not present? You're an illusion. Krishna is here right now. In family life, it is very important to make compromise between the husband and wife, but the ego prevents this in family life. Kick out the false ego. False ego, just like you leave your shoes at the door, right? Leave your false ego with your shoes. False ego means I am the center of the universe. Leave your false ego with the shoes. The false ego is not allowed in the house. It is said that if someone needs service from someone, he must praise the person first. Are you kidding? No. I remember our temple commander in Gainesville. If you went up to him and started growing from him, he'd say, okay, what do you want? He never took it as sincere if you started glorifying him. He said, this person has some motive, that's why he's glorifying me. So why do you have to play these games? Why not just be sincere and say, Prabhu, I need some help. Why do I have to flatter you? You know. Why? This is not a flattering society that I have to flatter you to get you the mop to wash some dishes. Oh, you know, you're a great Mahatma. You know, I shouldn't have to flatter you. Say, Prabhu, we need some service in the kitchen. That's all. Not that, oh, you're a great Mahatma, you're a great aristocratic gentleman, you're one of the greatest devotees in the whole country, and by the way, we need some help in the kitchen. You don't have to flatter people. I mean, we shouldn't depend on being flattered to do some service. That's not proper. I feel that I've cheated him because he felt proud. Yeah, we don't need to flatter people to get to engage them in service. That's not necessary. Actually, there's four ways that you can engage in service. It's described. The brahmana, he's engaged in service just by knowledge alone. The kshatriya, he requires some position. The vaishya requires a bribe, and the shudra requires the stick. So we should be brahmanas, just on the basis of knowledge. Oh, there's something needs to be done for Prabhupada's movement. That's all. That's all I need to know. I don't need to be flattered or to be bribed, be given, well, we'll make you the temple president if you wash the dishes. You know, I don't need any position. I just need to know it needs to be done for Prabhupada's movement. That's all. I've concluded that the existence of my suffering is due to my existence. No, that's a wrong conclusion. It's due to your misuse of your existence. Your existence is by nature full of bliss, but you have misused your existence by instead of using it in the service of the supreme source of existence, Krishna, you have tried to enjoy independently of the supreme source of existence, and therefore you're miserable. Your existence is by its very nature full of knowledge and full of bliss. And then he continues, if God really gave us all free will, God does give free will, not if. He will give us the choice to exist or not exist. That's not true. You don't have a choice to exist or not exist. If you want to think you don't exist, Krishna gives you that choice. You can become an impersonalist and think you don't exist. You can have the illusion of non-existence if you want. Krishna will give you that, but he will never give you non-existence. What is the difference between Hinduism and ISKCON? Hinduism is a term coined by the Muslims to describe the people living on the other side of the river Sindhu. It's a geographic term for people living in a certain area, whereas ISKCON can be anybody anywhere in the world. Of course, now they've taken the word Hindu and expanded out. But the original term Hindu was coined by the Muslims to describe those people found on the other side of the Sindhu River. And that's it's where the word came from.
It's a hodgepodge.
Hodgepodge.
It's a hodgepodge for sense gratification.
Yeah, it loosely means followers of Vedic culture, which of all different varieties and demigod worshippers, impersonalists, Vaishnavas, Shivites, Durgaites, Indraites, all kinds of varieties of people worshipping, connected with Vedic culture in some way or other. It also can mean that. But ISKCON captures the pure essence of Hinduism, which is Krishna Bhakti. Vedashta sarvaryaham eva vejo vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. Krishna says, by all of the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta. So all the Vedic wisdom, it culminates in Krishna. That is the... If you follow the Vedic process to its conclusion, from any position, impersonalist, demigod worshipper, you take any position within Vedic culture and you go to the conclusion, you will come to Krishna. You see. So ISKCON is the culmination of all Hindu paths. It's the summit. Hinduism is like the mountain, and ISKCON is the peak of the mountain in that sense. They criticized, they said, Swami Bhaktivedanta is spoiling Hinduism. Prabhupada says, I'm increasing the number of Hindus. So the pure essence of Hinduism, or Vedic culture in a more accurate way, is to say, that is being taught by ISKCON. And nobody else is teaching it like Prabhupada. No one else. It's in such depth, so purely and so perfectly and so potently. No one, no other organization, nor the guru outside of ISKCON is giving this potency that's coming from Srila Prabhupada to achieve the ultimate perfection of Krishna Prema. Any other questions? If there's no further questions, then we can adjourn. And everybody can be invited for tomorrow morning's Bhagavatam class at the temple, 7:30 a.m. Of course, there may be some other program, but not the whole program adjourns, but the lecture will adjourn. Yeah. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.